Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Let us pray. Father, you are a for real God. You're so good. And I'm so glad that I know you. And you never lead us wrong. Before I got out of the bed this morning, I felt your power. And when I arrived here today, I was reassured because I saw things that you had promised me that would happen, and they began to happen just as you showed it. And then as we came in to worship you today, you allowed us to see that you're still in charge. And I thank you for that. Now, I need you to continue to stay in charge as if you wouldn't, because you can't do anything but be in charge because you are charge God. So I just want you to reassure me that you're going to stay in charge as we go through this part of the day. Take what I'm going to do and use it for your glory. Bless your people that they might be enriched, that they may be better able to be your witnesses, that they may be more encouraged as they walk the journey that you have put them on. Now, Lord, it's your work now. I'm going to hide behind you, let them see you, and I know everything will be okay. For it is in Jesus' name that I ask it. Amen. Do you feel well now? I do. Thank God for Jesus. Brother Hodge, thank you for sharing today. I said thank you, but you didn't have any choice. You had to do what you had to do. Because the Lord, again, is in charge. I want to talk from the scripture that was read in your hearing, from Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. We have been studying that on Friday, the Gospel of St. Matthew, and I was kind of hesitant to discuss that in too much detail last Friday because I knew that's what I was going to be talking about today. But anyway, we did on last Friday. So Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, you will find these words. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And I want to use for a subject, he touched me. He touched me. Chapter 8 of Matthew is a specific point in time, chronologically, that is pinpointed as compared with Luke and Mark. They don't necessarily pinpoint this point in time, but Matthew does, because it said, "And when he had come down from the mountain," by pinpointing that time as the end of the Sermon on the Mount, because the Sermon on the Mount is contained in chapters 5 through 7. And so at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, concluding in chapter number 7 of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus had come down from the mountain. And so chapter 8 picks it up and says, as he had come down from the mountain, that this event happened. And so as he got there, Matthew says that a leper came to him and began to worship him. Now let's look at this thing of leprosy. We need to talk about that for just a moment, because if you don't get the picture of what this leper was like, you really won't understand the gravity of what was going on with Jesus and why this was such a monumental thing that was happening between the leper and Jesus. Because, see, leprosy was a dreaded disease. In the ancient world, leprosy was terrible, and it was a destructive disease. The ancient leper had no hope of improving his condition. The leper had no sense that Jesus would be able to help him. He was in a non-improving condition. He was at his last effort to be able to have anything done. Matter of fact, leprosy was a person, when they got that, they were at their last hope of all. Really, they had no hope, because it was a dreaded disease. There was no cure that was known for leprosy. Let me tell you how this may seem cruel, and it may seem, make you feel a little funny to describe what leprosy was like. But in the ancient world, leprosy might begin with the loss of sensation in part of the body. The nerve trunks was affected. The muscles began to waste away. The tendons contacts were, until the hands were like claws. Then follows an alteration of the hands and the feet. Then comes a progressive loss of the fingers and toes until in the end, the whole hand or the whole foot would drop off. Then during the duration of this, sometimes might last from 20 to 30 years for this whole process to go through. And really, it was a kind of terrible progressive death where a man dies by inches. It was a terrible, terrible condition. A terrible condition, this leprosy. According to Jewish law and custom, one had to keep 6 feet from a leper. If the wind was blowing toward the person from a leper, he had to keep 150 feet away. The only thing more defiling than contact with a leper was contact with a dead person. It was a terrible condition and situation to deal with a leper. For all these reasons, leprosy was a condition that could be modeled as sin. Even the priest looked at sin and followed it as something that was a special judgment of God against someone.
priests looked at as leprosy, as sin, and God had a judgment against a person if they had leprosy. It was a terrible condition, a terrible condition. But nevertheless, Matthew says that when Jesus came down from the mountain, this leper came to Jesus and worshiped him. Now, Jesus was a good Jew. Jesus knew the Levitical law. Jesus knew that a leper was not supposed to come around anyone. He knew that he was supposed to stay away. He was supposed to holler, "Unclean!" Jesus knew that. The leper knew that. We don't know how or why this leper got the message about Jesus. Now the text said that the multitude was on the mountaintop listening to Jesus as he gave his sermon on the mountain. Maybe, just maybe, this leper was far enough or close enough where he may have heard something that Jesus was saying. We don't know. But some way or the other, this leper got some information about Jesus. And some way or the other, out of all that was going on in the life of this leper, I just described to you the awful condition of this leper. But in spite of,
yes.
Somebody say in spite of. In spite of,
yes.
This terrible condition of the leper, this leper, knowing the terrible problem that he had, he knew that people had given him up to having a helpless condition.
Yes.
He had no one who could take him to Jesus. He had no previous example of Jesus healing a leper to give him hope that Jesus could take care of him.
Well.
He had no promise from Jesus that he would heal him. He had no invitation from Jesus or the disciples. He must have felt ashamed and alone in the crowd. But in spite of all of that, he came and worshiped Jesus. Mark in Mark 1:40 said he came beseeching and kneeling to him. Luke in 5:12 says he fell on his face. And Mark goes on to say, and when the leper came, Mark says it this way, and Jesus was moved with compassion. Saints of the living God, it reminded me in the book of Exodus when the children of Israel were having to make brick without straw. And the Pharaoh would keep putting hard tasks upon them.
Yes.
And they cried out to God.
Yes.
And they kept crying out, and they kept crying out. And God heard that cry, yes. Told Moses.
Yes.
Moses was on the back side of the desert.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Tending Jethro's sheep. God said, I've heard the cry of my people.
Yes, sir.
Told Moses, Moses, go down and tell Pharaoh.
Yes.
And let my people go.
Yes.
God can't let his people hurt and not do something about it.
All right.
When this leper, according to Matthew, worshiped Jesus. You remember? All of the stuff that he had to go through, knowing that he had an incurable disease, knowing that he wasn't supposed to be around folks, knowing the condition that he was in, knowing that he was supposed to cry out unclean.
Yeah.
But in spite of all of that, he came and he worshiped.
Yeah.
Mark says that he came beseeching and kneeling. Mm-hmm. Luke said he fell on his face. Then Mark says Jesus was moved with compassion.
Yes.
Somebody right along here ought to be getting the idea that regardless of what your situation is,
all right, say it word.
Regardless of what your problem is, regardless of how bad it looks, when you go to Jesus in an humble and contrite spirit, he will move with compassion. And the text says that when he was moved with compassion. Now, get this. In Exodus 4 and 7, God had done something with leprosy before with Moses. When God was getting ready to send Moses to tell Pharaoh to let the people go, Moses was concerned. What am I going to tell Pharaoh? And that same passage in that 4th chapter, Moses was saying, I don't know what to do. And God told him to throw down his rod, and it turned into a serpent and all of that type of thing. And then he says, in about the 7th verse, he told him, Moses, what I want you to do is stick your hand into your bosom.
Yes.
And so Moses did it. And when he stuck his hand into his bosom and pulled it out,
yes,
it was white, covered with leprosy.
Yes.
And so he looked at his hand and he said, now, stick it back in again.
Yes.
And he pulled it back out. And then he looked like the rest of his body again.
Yes. Yes.
Now, Jesus didn't do that. Or it may be like the situation that was in 2 Kings 5, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, where Naaman had gone down to Elijah And you remember that story?
Yes, sir.
Where they had gone down and Jehoram, they had first gone to Jehoram. Jehoram said, I'm no God that can fix Naaman's leprosy. So he sent him to Elijah, and Elijah, you remember, told him, go down and dip seven times in the Jordan River.
Yes, sir.
And so he finally did, and he got cured of his leprosy.
Yes, sir.
So Jesus didn't do something like that. But now watch how Jesus did this thing. Jesus did something that was totally unheard of for a Jew to do, because in Leviticus 14, the law says you don't touch somebody that's got leprosy. So that just didn't work. That just didn't work. But look what Jesus did. Jesus responded to what the leper said. Let's look at the text. The text says, and behold, the leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, that's good stuff right there. He says, now, in his mind, I know you can do it.
Yes.
Now, watch this, folks. We need to look and understand what somebody who is not saved, sanctified, and on their way to heaven said to Jesus. Hello, lights. This man said, I'm not saved, I'm not sanctified, and I'm not on my way to heaven. But I believe something in me has told me that you have the power. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
You got the power
to
fix this thing.
Yes.
And the only question is whether or not you want it. That's the only question. It's whether or not you want to do it. I believe you got the power. How many in here believe God's got the power? He said, I know you got the power. It's something about knowing he's got the power. When I look at the grass and I see a black cow eating green grass and can get white milk, I know God's got power. Oh, hallelujah. Something tells me I don't have to be saved, sanctified, and on my way to heaven. To know he's got the power. Yeah, to know he's got the power. So the man knew he had the power. So the only question is, are you with it? So he says, well, can I use my sanctified man?
Yes, sir.
I suspect Jesus was saying to him, you mean to tell me, after all you've been through, you've been kicked from one corner to the other. Folk have spat on you, yelled at you, treated you like a dog, treated you less than human. And you mean to tell me you got enough faith to say that you believe I've got enough power to heal you? After you had to come in the back door to even get to me? Knowing that the Levitical law said you're not even supposed to be around me? You got enough faith to say, I got the power? What you do? Hush your mouth, boy. I'm going to be finished here in just a second. he says, if you believe all that, he says, yes, I'm willing. And Jesus didn't send him to the Jordan River. Jesus didn't say, put your hand in your bosom. Jesus didn't stand over here and speak the word. Jesus came and touched it. And the text says, immediately. That word means urgently, quickly, in a hurry, fast. It's a lot of different words you can come to try to. But in other words, it meant,
yes, sir.
That's what happened. You know, we got microwaves and all that kind of stuff. It wasn't microwave fast. It was instant.
Yes.
It was done.
Yes, sir.
He was cleansed. Now, here's the closing point I want to make for you. The point is this. I said earlier that leprosy is looked at as sin. Here's the point. Sin, comparatively speaking to leprosy, is this. Leprosy has no known cure, at least at the time. Does today, I guess. Sin has no known cure. You can do everything you want to. You can drink it. You can shoot it. You can talk it. But there is no cure. Leprosy had all of the kind of things they wanted to. They put you in tombs, they banished you, they did everything they wanted to try to fix leprosy. None of that worked. This man found the complete, total, and absolute cure for leprosy. He had to go through stuff,
yes, sir,
to get his cure. Folk talking about him, banishing him, hollering unclean, had to do all of that. He didn't understand some stuff, but he made up his mind that he needed to get to Jesus. And when he got to Jesus, he got cured.
Yes.
Well, what's the parallel with sin? Sin is the same way. It will make you think you can't get cured. It will make you think you need to try everything going.
Yes.
Because there's just no way. You just can't get it done today. And that Jesus doesn't want you, he can't help you.
Well,
I don't want to go through all of that. But Jesus will have the same compassion,
yes,
on a sinner,
yes, sir,
that he had on the leper.
Yes, sir.
Point being, any sinner that wants to come to Jesus, Jesus will heal your sin-sick soul, just like he healed that leper. Last point. The leper was cured. Your sins will be healed just like that. Today now is your time. Do you want to get healed? The Lord is ready for you. He's ready for you. He wants to heal you just like he healed the leper. Do you want your touch? He touched the leper. He's ready to touch you today. That old song they used to sing, he touched me. He touched me, and I'm no longer the same. He touched me and made me whole. Let me pray for you. Gracious God, here we are today, and I'm thankful that Jesus touched this leper and turned his whole life around. Yes. He touched a leper who didn't have any other choice. There was nobody with him for him, to help him. Nobody. But the leper decided to try Jesus. And Jesus touched him, made his life totally different. And Master, the equivalent situation today is still sin. And I pray, Lord, that if there's someone here who has the equivalent to leprosy, which is sin, that they will fight through that same situation and bring their sin condition to Jesus. He will cleanse that, and he will make them whole. I pray for them now, Lord, that they will overcome just like the leper did and give their life to Jesus. Help them, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. As you stand, the choir leads us in our invitational hymn, Will You Come? Here.